want to start off tonight by saying I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach to my church. And I'm thankful for Pastor Ogle asking me. This is a great opportunity. And I'm thankful for the activities committee also setting this up tonight. I still think that game was rigged, but that's all right. We're going to be in the book of Joshua tonight. And it's going to be a little bit of a lengthy passage, so I'm not going to be reading through it per se, but it is somewhat of a familiar passage, and the book of Joshua tonight. And I want to speak briefly tonight on the subject of taking the next step for God in our Christian walk. And I want to start off by saying tonight that God never wants us in our Christian walk to be dormant. And in fact, in our Christian walk, we're either moving forward or we're moving backward. And God definitely wants us to be moving forward for him. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And when I was preparing for this message, it made me think of relationships. And relationships are meant to progress, right? You know, it's a great thing to get that first date or whatever. That's a great first step. But if you enjoy that first date, you don't want it to stop there, right? If you enjoyed it, you want to do that second date, third date, start doing things together. You want that relationship to progress, Lord willing, all the way to the point of engagement and then even marriage. And in the Christian life, it's the same way for us. God loves it when we take that first step and receive his son as our personal savior. Yeah, that's a great first step. He doesn't want us to stop there. In fact, he wants us to take more steps and grow closer to him in our walk on a daily basis. And so, I just want to start off by asking this question tonight. Where are you on that path? And what step does God want you to take next for this upcoming year? Like I said, we'll be in Joshua chapter 9, and we're going to go through really the story of the conquest of the Israelites and as they entered into the Promised Land, and compare it, get some comparisons with the Christian life for us today, hopefully draw a few principles from it as well that we can apply. And Joshua chapter 9, like I said, I'm not going to be reading through the whole thing tonight, but I can give the rundown. And in Joshua chapter 9, we're with Joshua, and he's already throughout the book, he and the Israelites, they've entered the Promised Land, they've destroyed Jericho, they destroyed Ai, they've made some great steps for God. But in Joshua chapter 9 here, they made one step backward in their relationship with God. And here in Joshua chapter 9, they come across the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites here, they'd heard of Joshua and Israel and what they'd done, how they've come out of Egypt, how they had destroyed the two nations since they'd entered the Promised Land, and that kind of scared them. So their plan was to deceive the Israelites. They came to the Israelites, and they talked to Joshua, and they said, they deceived them by saying, you know, we're from a faraway land. And their proof, they said that our bread, when we left, it was fresh, and now it's just grown moldy. Our shoes, when we left, they were new, and now they've worn through. And our wine, when we left, it was new, and now it's grown old. And so they asked Joshua to make a league with them so that they, under no circumstance, could be destroyed by the Israelites. When in actuality, the Gibeonites were only 6.5 miles southwest of the city of Ai, So that's why the Gibeonites knew, you know what, probably next. 6.5 miles is really only a stone's throw. And so they were scared. And so we see in Joshua chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, the step that Israel made in the wrong direction in their relationship with God. Verse 14, it says, "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear by them." You see, the problem with this league was, as I said before, that God told them that they needed to cleanse the land. With this league, there wasn't going to be a way that they could do that. There wasn't going to be any way around destroying Gibeon because, as we see here, they swore by the name of the Lord. So there was no way around it. And so from this passage here, I want to just grab a few principles that we can hopefully apply to our lives today in our Christian walk. And this is for Christians who've maybe they've taken steps for God. They've just as the Israelites, they destroyed Jericho, they destroyed Ai. You may have taken steps forward for God, but maybe you've slipped up and you've taken a step away from God and your relationship with Him. And really, if we're honest, that's all of us. Because none of us can say in our lives that, we've lived a perfect life in our relationship with God. So this applies to all of us in one way or another. And if you've taken a step in the wrong direction, the first principle I see is that you have to suffer long-term consequences. Galatians 6:7 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And here, with the league that they made with the Gibeonites, it lasted forever. And as a result, in all honesty, the Gibeonites had been in the Israelites' hair throughout all of their history. And it's the same way in our lives today. The decisions that we make, whether good or bad, they're going to affect us long term, and we have to face the consequences for what we do. But the second principle that I see here is that others will suffer from your decision. And look in verse 18 here in chapter 9. It says, "And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes." You see, the princes here, they're the ones who swore by the name of the Lord. But that didn't only just affect them. That affected all of Israel. And it's the same in our Christian walk today. The decisions that we make, they don't just affect us, but they affect the people around us, our families, our friends. They affect the people around us as well. But the third principle that we can gather from here is that if we take the step in the wrong direction, we put the name of God in a bad light. Just as the princes of Israel here, they swore by the name of the Lord and with something that he didn't want. They swore by the name of the Lord. For us today, as Christians, in our workplace or wherever we are, if we do something that God would not approve of, and people know that we're Christians, which they should, if we do something that God would not approve of, we're putting the name of God in a bad light, and we're hurting the overall testimony of Christians. So that's something to remember, that we put the name of God in a bad light. But not only that, the fourth principle here is that you aren't taking a step toward God, but away. And this may seem to be an obvious one, but I thought about it this way. If you're a Christian, taking a step in the wrong direction is hurting your relationship with the one who died on the cross so that he could have a relationship with you. And that should, just keeping that in mind, should really serve as a deterrent for us in our lives as we live for the Lord. But fifthly, also from this passage, overall, God is not glorified. You see, from the recent victories that they had in the land when they destroyed Jericho and when they destroyed Ai, there was no doubt that God did it for them, okay? But here with this, when they made this pact or this league with Israel, God couldn't be glorified because that wasn't what he wanted. And the same thing applies to us as Christians today. God wants us, God isn't glorified. And the Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if we're not doing it to the glory of God, then it's nothing but sin. And so all of that to say, these five principles to say, God wants us to take the next step for him. Even if we may have slipped up in our walk and gone the wrong direction in our relationship with God, he wants us still to take the next step for him. And I think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Just as his father, when he decided to return, was waiting for him and he ran to him, God is still waiting for us and he wants us to return. Even if we decide to take the wrong step, he's still waiting for us to return to him. There's still a possibility to take a step in the right direction for God. And we see that moving on into Joshua chapter 10. And like I said, I'm not going to be reading through this whole passage, but I can give the rundown. And in Joshua chapter 10, the king of Jerusalem, his name was Adonizedek. And he'd heard of Israel as well. He'd heard a few things. He heard how they had came out, how they came out of Egypt, and how they entered the promised land, how they destroyed Jericho, how they had destroyed Ai. And he also heard another thing. He heard how Gibeon had made a league with them. And in all honesty, he was kind of scared. And so, in fact, he knew of the men of Ai, and he knew that they were mighty men, and he also knew, you know what? The Israelites totally destroyed them. So he was kind of scared. And he also heard, when he heard about the Gibeonites, he didn't really like that they had made a league with the Israelites. And so he decided to make a league of his own. He took four other of the Amorite kings, and he gathered them together, and he told them, he asked them to make a league with him. And this was his plan, to go destroy the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites, they heard of that, and they were afraid too. So they went to Joshua, because they'd made a league with him. They went to Joshua, and they're just like, you know, the Amorite kings, they're going to destroy us, and we need you to defend us. And so Joshua, he gathers his mighty men, but this time he didn't make the same mistake as he had made in chapter 9. And this time he decided to seek the Lord's counsel. And this time, as we see in verse 8, he got an answer from God, and the Lord told him, it says this, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." So this time, you know what, Joshua, he had the Lord's blessing. He had the Lord on his side. So all he had to do was just go claim the victory. So he takes his mighty men, and they travel all night long from Gilgal to Gibeon to get to the enemy, which is actually an amazing feat. Not only was it at night, but from Gilgal to Gibeon was actually a 25-mile hike uphill. And they did that at night. So, but when they got to Gibeon and they reached the enemy, the Lord helped him out there too, actually. He sent a great commotion or disturbance in the midst of the enemy. And they're just like freaking out, and that's when Joshua goes and he attacks, and so he's just killing the enemy, and they're running away. He's chasing them down. While he's chasing them down, God helps him out again. He sends great stones from heaven to fall down on the enemy, and it says that more died from those stones than Joshua and his mighty men were even able to slay with a sword. And as if he hadn't done enough there, God allowed the sun to stand still for a prolonged period of time so that Joshua and his mighty men could keep fighting the enemy. And you know what? Israel won the battle that day. And you ask, how did all these great things happen so that Israel could win the battle that day? And verse 14, the end of it, really sums it up nicely for us. It says this, "For the Lord fought for Israel." The Lord fought for Israel. And keep in mind, this was actually after the step back that they had taken just a chapter before. But they realized that they couldn't just let that stop them. They could still move forward for God. And that's exactly what they did. And that's the same thing that we should be doing in our Christian lives today. And so from this passage, verses 1 through 14, I see four principles that hopefully we can gather from here and apply to our lives today. In verses 1 through 5, I see that there's always going to be some type of contention or hindrance or just some type of obstacle that's going to get in the way of you and what God wants you to do. And just as Joshua, he took action, he just as he went and destroyed those armies with God's help, that's what we need to do. We need to eradicate those obstacles from our lives so that we can move forward for him. But not only that, in verses 6 through 8, we see that if we truly seek the face of God, then he's going to reveal what he wants us to do next for him. And this time, like as I said before, Joshua made the right decision. He sought the Lord's face, and he had the Lord on his side, and God told him what he needed to do. And it's the same way in our lives today. We need to seek the Lord's face before we make any decision. To take the next step for him, we need to seek the Lord's face. And he's not going to speak to us maybe like he did to Joshua in that time, but we have his word today that we can read on a daily basis in order to find out his will for us to take those next steps. And so I urge you today to keep that in mind. Don't begin this upcoming year without God. Don't make your decisions for next year, the steps you're going to take next year, without God. But moving on, in verses 9 through 11 here, you see that if God commands you to do it, then all you have to do is claim the victory. You see, as we saw before, the Lord told him he could go fight him and he was going to win. That's all Joshua had to do was go claim the victory. But here we see that you're not just going to get the victory because God says you have it. You need to do your part. You need to act on the promise that you have. And that's what Joshua did, and that's what we need to do today. If God says you can do it, if God has a plan for your life and you see it, all you have to do is act on it because God told you to do it, therefore you can do it. But also tonight, in verses 12 through 14, we need to remember the one who gives us the power to take the next step for him, and that's God. Just as we saw here throughout the story, Joshua and his mighty men, they were able to hike uphill 25 miles throughout the night, reach an enemy, and fight them, chasing them down. Not only that, but great stones fell from heaven to aid them, and God even held the sun still for a prolonged period of time just to aid them. And it was obvious there that it was in the power of God. And we need to remember that today, that it's not in our own power that we can do what God wants us to do, but it's in his power. And just as I said before, all we have to do is claim it and act on that promise. But maybe tonight you aren't someone who's, as a Christian, you haven't made steps forward for God and maybe slipped up. You haven't done that, or maybe you haven't just taken steps for God because you haven't taken the first step. And just as you can see in Joshua chapter 4, how it took a step of faith for Israel to enter to cross over the Jordan on dry land, just as it took a step of faith for them, it takes faith for us to accept Christ. In Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." And it isn't through anything that we can do of our own merit that saves us, but it's by the grace that that Jesus showed us on the cross that paid the price for our sin. And all we have to do is put our total faith in his finished work. So I urge you, if you're someone who hasn't taken that first step today, do that. But I end tonight by saying this. God wants you to take the next step for him. And whether it's you taking the first step and becoming a Christian, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether you're going to be taking the next step after you've taken steps backward away from your relationship with God, or even if you've just been progressing and you're ready to now take another step for God, that's what God wants you to do. So what steps are you going to make for God this upcoming year?